I love when The Simpsons does that little ambulance bit where the ambulance, all of a sudden there's a tree there and it hits it and he comes running out. They do that stuff so well. This episode is called Daredevil Bart. It is Bart Simpson deciding that he wants to be a daredevil and he wants to kind of, and it's not just going over this gorge, there's all sorts of little things he does to build up to this. And they start as really small risks and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally he announces to the whole school, I'm going to jump the gorge. And Homer comes and saves him. I also want you, though, to notice Homer's handling. This wasn't a risk he wanted to take, but as he starts to go down the hill, you see the fear, like a lot of fear. He gets really scared, like, how am I going to do this? I'm so scared. And then as he starts to go over, there's a little bit of exhilaration. You kind of hear it, you know. And by the way, did you notice he said King of the World? That's pre-Titanic. I just want to make sure you all know he started that. That's a Simpsons thing. King of the World, excited, and then boom, the failure. And it is that failure that keeps most of us from risking. Because we have this, and I'm going to explain this today, we have this lie that is out there that the failure is when we try something and it doesn't work, it's a failure. And we're going to talk about today is the failure is not trying. That's the failure. When we don't do something that we either have kind of in us or some creative idea or some creative outlet and we don't do it, there's a failure to it. When I was a really little kid, sometime in the mid-80s, this guy put himself in a lawn chair and stuck weather balloons. You know, you can see these four levels of weather balloons. So he thought he would go a few hundred miles. Does anybody ever, I'm just curious if anybody saw this. How many people remember this? Okay, I'm just curious. His name was Larry Walters. And he actually didn't do too bad. He got 1,600 feet in the air. Like, he got up there. Some planes started to see him. They were, you know, went by him and, you know, called out and said, we got a problem up here. The way he got down, does anybody remember the way he got down? Yes, he had guns and he shot it. Yep, he shot off the balloons. And he came down. They actually arrested him, which was kind of interesting because, you know, this was kind of illegal. I don't remember what happened with that. It wasn't that big of a deal. But they asked him. They said, why? They had all these reporters around him. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? And this was his answer. A person can't just sit there. You got to do something. Now, I don't know whether you want to do this, but I like that little phrase. A person can't just sit there. You got to do something. You got to do something. So I'm going to turn it back to you. Take 30 seconds. I'm going to stay up here, and then I'm going to ask you the answer to this question. What's the riskiest thing you've ever done? Turn to someone to your right or your left. If you're alone, maybe someone could come up next to you and talk to you real quick. 30 seconds, maybe a minute at most. Riskiest thing you've ever done, go. All right, 10 more seconds. Riskiest thing you've ever done. If you haven't switched, switch it. All right. Let's kind of finish up. I'll pull you back in. Riskiest thing you've ever done. Anybody willing to tell us? Raise your hand. The riskiest thing you've ever done. Yes, Eugene.
Now knowing that I have a 13-year-old baby girl, she's no longer a baby.
Yeah, I was going to be like, well, we should talk about what you're calling her, but yes. Having a child.
Having a boy would be hard. For me, though, you know, it's like having a girl is really, really hard.
Okay. What's weird is that I had one, and then I was risky enough, I just kept going, just having these children. I don't know what I was thinking. Cindy, what were you going to say?
I drove a stock car.
Did you just say you drove a stock car? Okay. Okay, and it was real. Yeah, that sounds risky. I've never done something like that. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Anybody else? Riskiest thing? Come on. Julie. Yeah, that was a big deal, yeah. And yeah, because that's a big step of faith to have to do that. Was there fear in that a little bit?
Every day there's fear.
Yes, there you go. All right, we're going to talk about that. There's fear. Anybody else? Risky, yeah.
Meeting a tornado in Kansas.
Yes, and there is film footage. There is of Randy meeting a tornado in Kansas and then a car over here. And you fully came.
Yeah.
You turned. Settled on the roof, right?
No, upright.
Yeah, you settled upright. Okay, I can remember. Yeah. Yeah, thank goodness. Yes, I remember that too. Yeah. Anybody else? Riskiest thing. Yeah, Andrew.
I just thought of something. So I guess I took this motorcycle class. I was on Groupon, so that was a day or two. And then went and bought my motorcycle and drove it home, having never ridden the motorcycle before. And I actually have the scars to prove how risky.
That's good. I like that. All right. All right, one more? Yeah, oh, yeah, Evan.
Snow skiing for the first time.
Snow skiing is risky, yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's people in here I guarantee who have never snow skied, so that's very impressive. All right, anybody else? Last one, yeah.
When we moved our family to Denver.
Moving. Moving's a big risk. Yeah, especially across country and things like that. That's always a big risk when you have to move. We're going to talk about risk today, and we're going to talk about that idea of fear being alongside of it and all of those things. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, page 685. Somewhere around you is a Bible, and you can go to this. Matthew 14, verse 22, page 685, and it's on the far right side about three-quarters of the way down. Matthew 14, 22. And as you're getting there, I want to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of what's going on in Matthew. We've been in Matthew this entire series, and we're going to stick in Matthew because if you have not figured it out yet, Matthew is like my favorite book of the Bible. Matthew, what he's detailing here is Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. It's a story that you may be familiar with if you've ever been in any type of religious institution or a kid, you went to Sunday school or something like that. It's the story of the loaves and the fish, and Jesus turns them into tons and tons of food for 5,000 people. The interesting piece of this is it's actually 5,000 men. So when you include women and children, it's possible Jesus, you know, fed 20, 25, 30,000 people. I mean, it was just tons of people. The other cool piece to this that I've always liked is after he fed all of these people, does anybody remember what happens right after that? They gathered the stuff. Does anybody remember this story? They gathered all of the food in baskets, and they had these big baskets where they gathered all the food. I've always liked that because it kind of reminds me of what we do at The Journey. It's kind of a Dive Sevens idea. We're not going to waste food. We're going to give food to people in need. So that's what Jesus was doing right away. So he does all of this work, feeds all these people. It's very miraculous, very cool stuff. Jesus is divine, but Jesus is also very human. And he is exhausted after doing all this. It's exhausting. So he decides to go and have a little retreat by himself to be alone. And they're right by this lake, and he sends the disciples out on the lake on a boat. You know, most of them are fishermen. They know what they're doing. Go out on the lake. I am just going to calm my spirit, get some rest, and I'll come meet you out there. We'll figure it out later. So let's pick it up in verse 22. Immediately, and I want you to recognize the word immediately because we're going to show this is used over and over again in this little passage. Immediately. Jesus made the disciples get in the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, while, like a good pastor, he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he's there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, and just to help you understand, shortly before dawn means he has been here for hours and hours and hours. So Jesus really took some time. He probably did some sleeping, he probably did some praying, just relaxing, getting away, whatever that would look like for you, he did something very similar. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Now, this is one of those interesting miracles Jesus does that people talk about. I think it was even in Bruce Almighty, you know, this idea of walking on water. And he does. He just literally walks on water. And it's one of the few times you see a miracle of Jesus, I mean, very few, that it's not about others. Anytime Jesus tells people to do something or does a miraculous thing, it's for other people. He's very focused on other people. This is one of the few times he's like, geez, that boat's all the way out there. I don't want to deal with this. Heck with it. And he walks. Jesus walks on water. Matthew does not make a big deal of this. Just says walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. And Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. All right, Peter said, Lord, if it's you. I like the idea that there's somebody else that has put on a Jesus mask that's walking on the water. You know, like Peter's just there, all right, if it's really you. Like, who else would it be, Peter? But that's fine. If it's really you, Jesus, tell me to come to you on the water then. I like putting Jesus to a test. So Jesus takes his test. Verse 29. All right, man, come on. Come on down. Walk across the water, Jesus said. So Peter gets down out of the boat, walks on the water, and comes towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, there's that word again, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he finally climbed into the boat, he and Peter climbed back in the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Today, I want to talk about that story and kind of use that as the impetus for us understanding how to risk in life, even when there's fear. And I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. And what I did was I'm just giving you five things about risk today. I'm just going to throw this out there for you. And I'd like you to think about this in a real personal way for yourself. What is it that you may struggle with risk? So the first thing I want to talk about is that risk always has fear along with it. Julie just said that. I really liked how she said that. Julie's like, I was like, did you have any fear? She's like, every single day. I'm feeling fear right now. Julie's feeling fear right now because she had to just bring it up. My goodness. But it's fearful. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. By the way, I like that word terrified. The meaning of that is they were like ghosts. So there's a word play going on here that Matthew uses. They were like ghosts. They were ashen. They were so scared. And then they go, it's a ghost. Jesus is a ghost. So they're so freaked out. And they said this and they cry out in fear. Always, 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 when we have to risk something in our life, when we have to take a step of faith, fear is going to be a part of it. Risk simply means this, to be exposed. Anytime I have to open myself up, I expose myself to all sorts of possibilities, some of them possibly negative. Even as simple as meeting someone new and I put my hand out there to shake their hand and say, it's good to meet you, I am exposing myself that they may not like me, that I may say something wrong, that it just may be awkward. Now you add that to all the other things, all the choices we make in our life every single day. We are constantly exposing ourselves. This is why we get afraid. Because we all know that when we expose ourselves, there's some things about us that we're insecure about. We're afraid, like Homer in the gorge, that we're going to fail and we're going to fall and we're going to get all beat up figuratively or literally. And that risk starts to keep us back. We don't want to expose ourselves. It starts actually kind of becoming a pattern in our life. I know it has for me at times. When I don't want to expose myself, I don't want you to see me, I just do little things, little walls I put up so you don't see me, so you don't really know who I am, because it's scary. So anytime we have to risk, we expose ourselves. And maybe you know this feeling in some avenue of your life. Maybe you have had a creative moment. Boom, creative moment. It just comes. And in that creative moment, you get really excited about an idea to do something or make something or be something. I was just listening to an interview from Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels has been doing Saturday Night Live for 40 years. And he's 70 years old, he still stays up with them all night. They stay up till 3, 4 in the morning every night. And he said, why do you guys do this? Why do you stay up this late? And Lauren said, because that's when the creative moments come, because all the fears are gone. And when all the fears are gone, it's 3 in the morning, someone just comes up with a creative idea, and we go, that's what we're going to do. And I like that idea, creativity, this creativity that comes up. Maybe you've had that, and you get excited about the possibilities of what you could do and how you could live your life, how you could be different, or how you could do an initiative or make something different in the world. But right along with it is fear. It's right there. And we get scared, and we need something to give us courage. Risk always has fear with it, but courage comes from life with Jesus. Right there in verse 27, Jesus immediately said to them, immediately, like boom, he knew this was coming. Immediately he says, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. I like this word courage. Courage means be of good cheer and be bold. Be of good cheer and be bold. I kind of like this idea that God is always kind of telling us every time we have fear, calm down, get a little happy. You know how fear makes you feel pressure, anxiety starts to build, and you don't know what to do? And God's kind of right there going, just calm down. There's joy in life. Don't get this upset. Don't get this worked up. You're making something this size into something this size. Just calm down. Be of good cheer. And then he says, and when you do that, get bold. Do something. Our series we started a couple weeks ago on this taking on, we said week one, there's trust. Living with integrity. How do we know that we're going to have the ability to risk? We start with this. Remember I said all of these build on each other. We live life with integrity. What we said is we want to be trustworthy people, people who can be counted on, loyal people, people who commit to something and follow through. How do you do that? You live with integrity, and that word integrity comes from the idea of being integrated. Remember I gave this graph that everything in my life should be integrated. I don't compartmentalize things. So life with Jesus is in the middle, and everything's coming off of that. And it's all interconnected. It's a really cool way to live. Remember, I don't have to live by rules anymore. I don't have to hear someone tell me, well, the Bible says this, and that's the rule. Well, it says you. Instead, what I can do is I can go back to Christ, and I can say, I'm going to live intimately with Jesus and with the church, and my life is going to be transformed. And all of these things are going to come together. And there's beauty in it. And then last week we said, when we live with integrity, when we have trust and we're a trustworthy person, now I wake up every day and I have purpose. I hope this morning you woke up with purpose. I hope this week you've thought about what we talked about last Sunday, the kingdom life, life with Jesus, and you are living every day with some level of purpose. Because when that happens, we have courage to risk. When we put those things together, that next step to risk now makes sense. The riskiest thing I've ever done in my life is this, the journey. And it was a huge, huge risk for me. The journey, when we started it, I had so much fear around it. And there were some really good reasons to have fear. We had exactly 5 people sitting in a living room talking about how we couldn't go to church anymore because we didn't know what to do. That's really what we were like. Yeah, we love God. I just don't know where to go to church. What are we going to do? And we came up with this idea to start a church. We did not have prospects. It wasn't like we had a list, a group of people we could go call and say, hey, come to our church. It was just us. We had no money, and I had a family with very young children. I was very alone in the Christian community, and I mean, I was really kind of pushed to the side in the Christian community. Most people said I was too young. Yeah, you're too young. Give yourself some seasoning. We were not part of a denomination, so it's because we weren't part of a denomination, there was no money that was just funneling to us. What kind of name is the journey anyway, I kept getting? And I would explain it, the journey's a really cool name, and they're like, ugh, ridiculous. How can you have a church that doesn't go by rules? How can you not have specific doctrinal statements? You need these things if you're going to be a church. And I said, well, I guess we're just going to try it. How can you have a church that accepts all people just as they are? Don't you need to know who's in and who's out? I think we're just going to let everybody be in. I felt abandoned by people I respected. And the biggest piece, and this is important, I had more lucrative, cushy minister jobs lined up out of seminary. There were jobs with more money and easier and more comfort, and they were lined up, they were there. But there was this desire to do something, to create something. Maybe you have that desire somewhere. It may be something really small, that's fine. It may be something big, fine too. But something where you go, I want to risk a little bit with my life. I just want to do something. Again, it does just can be just a little dip into the water, a little step. What would that look like for you? My courage did not come from myself, because if you know me, you know that I have a lot of fear in my life. Fear has been right along with me with most everything I've done in my life. And it's been something over the last decade and a half that I've really dealt with and come out of. But at this time in my life, it was a big deal. Takes us to number three. No risk brings comfort, and comfort is boring. See, I have had in my life fear that made me not risk, and I went kind of like, whew, glad I didn't do that. Now I feel more comfortable. But I have found that comfort is really boring. You're not kind of living life. Life's just kind of living you. When faced with risk, we actually just kind of have these two options. We have the comfort side, and there's fear there. That's why we stay in the comfort zone. It's fearful, so we stay back. And there's security there. It's easier. There's routine. There's a system. We know what we're doing. We know how to do it. There's the ease of life. Life's just easier if I just stay back and let other people do what they're doing and I just do my little thing. There's stagnation, though, as well. And we feel it sometimes in our spirit. Risk, though, especially built on an integrated life with Christ and daily purpose, I put the same first thing. There's fear. That doesn't leave. That's going to be right alongside of you. And that's okay. Rather than looking at that as a negative, look at that as that's part of it. That's part of life. It's kind of this natural instinct we have, fearful. But there's also desire to see something changed. There's a vision for a different kind of future, whether it's for ourselves or others or whatever. There's vision. There's excitement. Pulse quickens. And that big word, there's hope. A preferred future, something we'd like to go to. There's hope. When faced with risk, these are our options. They really are. And we tend to go one side or the other. One of the issues is problems arise, and so sometimes we wonder if the risk is worth it. Think about what happened with these guys. Peter gets down out of the boat. He walks on the water. He comes towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. I went back and looked into this little phrase here because I think it's a really interesting little phrase. It doesn't say when he felt the wind. It isn't that Peter's walking on the water and this is all happening and everything's working out and then all of a sudden a wave hit him or the wind hit him and he's like, oh! He saw the possibility of wind. He saw the possibility of things not working out. You ever had that? Ooh, I kind of want to do this, but what if that happens or that happens? And so we start to go back because we think of all the possibilities. He was doing it. He's walking on the water. He comes towards Jesus. He saw the wind. He saw what was going on. And he got afraid. And he began to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me, save me, save me. This is why comfort is always easier. It really is. But problems are okay. See, just as fear is right alongside of risk, problems come up when we take risks. Unexpected things, we don't know they're coming, and boom, they hit us. That's okay. That's part of it. In fact, that's just life. And it's hard to be stagnant when problems come, because then you get to solve those problems and figure out how you're going to get around them. And you actually can become pretty good at it if you'll go out into this stuff. No risk brings comfort. Comfort is boring. The only people, I said this at the beginning, but it was something someone said to me over a decade ago that really transformed my life from being a fearful person to being more of a risk taker. They said, Michael, the only failure is not trying. And they said, imagine what it'll be like if it doesn't work. And I did. And they said, did you fail? And I said, no, I tried and I learned a whole lot and I made connections. Okay, you can do this. But if you do nothing, that's failure. You've got to do something. A person can't just sit there. Number four, risk always has fear with it. Courage comes from life with Jesus. No risk brings comfort. Comfort's boring. We are changed when we risk. We are different. It isn't just that we get out of our comfort zone when we risk, but we expose ourselves. Remember that. Risk means I expose myself for the possibility of being hurt or for failure or for insecurities to build up. It's going to be there. That's fine. But we're also open to change. One of the things Christ is doing with us is constantly renewing us. We're new creations, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. Christ is constantly creating anew, renewing us. And we're open to change. And so when you see this kind of progression, life with integrity, purpose, and risk, we start to see change in who we are. I hope you are seeing that in your life. I hope you're seeing that in the life of the journey. We've done some risky things at the journey. That's fine. Let's keep doing them. I said this week on Monday night, we were at our pastor meeting. And I said, man, we've been talking about starting a second service for like a year, year and a half. And we're like, yeah, now we're doing it and we're kind of in it. And I turned to Jackie and Rob and I said, all right, so what are we doing in a year and a half? Like now we should start be thinking about that. Like what are we open to? What could God do with us? How could we include more people? How could we help more people? Let's just be open to it. Big deal here, fifth one, last one. It's not the size of the risk that counts. You got to hear that. It does not matter what risk looks like for you. It isn't as if God is grading you. Like, oh, you only risk this much, but this person over here risks this much. It's just you, your personality, the fears that you have. Some people in here have a lot of fear. Some people here have less fear. Some people in here have grown up in certain ways, and you, other people have grown up in a different way. Whoever you are, whatever risk looks like for you, try it. Try it. For some, that may just be talking to one person at church. I brought this up last week with introverts. Just talking to one singular person and reaching out to one person could be a huge risk for you. Do it. That's your risk. No problem. For some, and if you're a guest with us or a newer person, maybe just coming to church today is a risk. I had someone who came to the first service and they were talking to me. And they were talking about feeling judged by churches. And they said, so we're just scared to go to church. And they said, even just coming here today was a fearful thing, just coming here. I was like, that makes sense. Risk, that's fine. That's a big risk. Maybe you struggle socially and you just need to connect with people, not just at church, but at work or in a group or in your neighborhood. That's a lot of risk. Maybe you thought, one of the things I liked is Karen got up here and she talked about Sunday morning. We need help at 8:30 on Sunday morning. Talk about risk. Coming here and not knowing what you're supposed to do and there's all these people and you're going to help set things up for a church, that's risk. By the way, it's a lot more comfortable to sleep in. It just is. I'm going to encourage you to risk. Come help us out. Be a part of something. Just take that little step. That might be the risk for you. Maybe you've thought about leaning into the church more, maybe going to church more often, being a part of things more, but it scares you to be involved. Maybe you've thought about helping the music team. They get up here and sing every week. They do an unbelievable job. And you said, I want to be a part of that. I don't know if I should do that. Risk. Maybe it's at your workplace, going for a promotion or starting a new initiative, or there's a meeting and you've always have an idea and you never raise your hand to give it. Take a risk. Maybe it's going on a specific trip you've wanted to. And you're like, oh, I'd have to save the money or we'd have to do that or I'm not sure if I should. Do it. Plan it. Maybe it's 5 years from now. Fine, plan it. Maybe you've wanted to help with Dive or Sevens and it's risky. I encourage you to do it. Maybe you're like me. I'm serious about this one. One of the visions for the journey is to start other churches. Rather than being some monolith, we'd like to go out and start other churches, have communities like the journey. Maybe you're like me and there's something in you that would like to start a church. That's a big risk. Maybe you have no interest in that, but the idea of starting churches is really cool, and you'd like to help some people start a church. You'd like to be one of those five people. Cool. Maybe that's available. We can figure that out. Risk. Whether you're coming to church and talking to one person or you think about starting a church, it's not the level of risk. It's that in all of it, it's all risk, and we're exposing ourselves and we're coming out of our comfort zone. But you have a foundation of Christ, and you can be more bold than you realize. What I'd like to do to close our time together is I'd like, instead of just praying, I'd like to do the Lectio Divina with you. It's been a couple months since we did that, and I'll just put it up here on the screen. And the first step is to quiet ourselves and to calm our spirit. So we just talked about a whole bunch of things, and I'm just going to ask you right now where you're at, maybe just to close your eyes just for a moment. Just close your eyes with me. And if it would help, maybe put your palms out on your lap. You do not need to do that, but for some people that's helpful just as a place of surrender, a body prayer. And while you're sitting there, I'm going to ask you to remove any negative thoughts. Any fears or anxieties that are coming into you, even right now. Maybe when I started talking about risk, it actually raised your heartbeat quite a bit, and you got the anxiety started and you got a little scared. This is a safe place, and we're not here to bring fear to you. So let the negative thoughts and those things just kind of exit your brain right now and your spirit. Start to notice your breath. Breathe in and out slowly and focus on God. Try to ignore any racing thoughts in your head. And when you're prepared, I'm going to put the passage that we're going to use today up on the screen. And we're going to read through the passage a few times. Verse 27 out of chapter 14. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." So this second step is that we're going to read through the passage a few times. So as this is up there, I'm just going to give you about 30 seconds of silence. And rather than just reading through it fast, try in your mind's eye to just say each word and let it kind of fill you up. Read it 3 or 4 times. Consider what the words may mean for you, and imagine even Jesus saying these words, and you're in that place. If it helps, you can even say, "But Jesus immediately said to me," is saying to me. So take a few seconds and read through the passage. The next step of the Lectio Divina, which simply means the sacred reading, where we sacredly ask Christ to come in as we read, is that we ask some questions of the passage. So now I'm going to put a few questions up there. What emotions are coming out of you? Where do you see your needs in this reading? And where can your faith be strengthened as you read this? So take another 30 seconds or so and just think of those questions. Maybe one of them pops up to you, or all three, and ask those of the passage and of yourself. You ask those questions, let those kind of sink in. The final step of Lectio Divina is to focus on one word. And this should be a word that you could take through today and this week with you. Maybe you even write it down somewhere and there's a lot of meaning around it for you. So I'm going to put the passage up again and maybe focus on a word. Maybe the word immediately. Jesus uses it 3 times in that passage. Maybe you need God right now, right here. Take a moment and just ask God to be right here, right now with you. Maybe it's that word courage. Do you have a creative idea welling inside of you? Maybe something you could do alongside God to love others. Remember, the risk can be small or large. Size doesn't matter. Maybe it's the word I. Simple, I. Maybe you just need to lean into Christ today. Fully realize Christ is here in your midst right now. Maybe the word's afraid. Are things overwhelming you? Has fear overcome your creative spirit? Ask God to provide courage. Whatever word you choose in all of this, just remember God's love is what compels us to risk. So just take about 30 more seconds, focus on a word, and use that to pray to God right where you're at.
We're going to have the opportunity in a few minutes to take the Eucharist, but right now we're going to sing the song Oceans, and I invite you to sing the song with us and put yourself in the place of Peter. What is your version of his walking on the water? What is your risk that maybe you've been unsure whether you should take, and what are the distractions, what are the obstacles like his wind that are causing you to not take that risk?
I'll find you.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Those words have an effect on me, causes me to consider what kind of borders I place on my trust in God. If I have borders on my trust in God, then I certainly have borders on trust in my relationships with my wife, my family, and my church. When we take the Eucharist, it's a reminder that we are transformed by Christ, and His Spirit becomes a part of us and dwells within us, so that our need for borders and defenses come down. The Eucharist table is prepared for you in the middle of the aisle today. When your heart is ready, take the bread, dip it into the wine, and consider some of the borders that you place on your trust in Christ, and whether those things are keeping you from living a life of risk and a life of love. We're going to play some music up here. The table is ready. Go and you're prepared.